ladies and gentlemen, young and old. This may seem an unusual procedure speaking to you before the picture begins, but we have an unusual subject. Turn. When I say that this is the most important motion picture you will ever attend, my motivation is not financial gain, but a firm belief that the delicate fabric that holds all of us together will be ripped apart unless every man, woman, and child in this country sees this film and pays full ticket price, not some bargain matinee cut rate deal. Turn. In the event that you find certain sequences or ideas confusing, please bear in mind that this is your fault, not ours. You will need to see the picture again and again until you understand everything. Turn.
Welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas. And I am so happy.
You're not sick?
Well,
you're still sick.
We'll see about that. I'm still a little sick. but Andrew will tell you this. I have been kind of just hopping and skipping and jumping around. I'm just waiting for you to get here, Damien. Because I cannot wait. And I know I'm preempting things. Mm-hmm. But I cannot wait to hear what you think about it.
Okay.
So if you guys haven't guessed, this might just be an interesting one. This might involve a lot of bad words. But this week I asked us to talk about the latest film.
Why do I say
latest? Like we know a previous film of his.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. A film by Jonathan Glazer, starring one Miss Scarlett Johansson, called Under the Skin.
Come to me.
I'm going to go immediately here, and I'm going to shout it out, guys. I think we might end up talking about spoilers with this movie, because this movie is one of those movies where we're going to talk about a lot of things which aren't quite clear if you're just looking at like marketing or just people going it's good, right? And I'm not saying we've said that, but you know, whatever. So Under the Skin, for those of you who don't know what this movie is, Scarlett Johansson is a pretty young lady
accurate so far.
Driving around Britain, like to me, like just skip between Ireland and England in the look of it.
I think she was in Scotland.
I think she was in Scotland? Okay.
Yeah.
She is picking up men and then taking her back to her home and trapping them in some black river of thing. And it becomes very apparent that this lady is actually an alien of some sort or a machine, or we don't really know.
Well, does it become apparent? I know this because I read the synopsis and decided not to watch it at TIFF.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that she's an alien, right? But do we know from anything in this movie that she's an alien?
I kind of got that gist from the beginning. From when you said,
"Oh wait,
sky
no."
At some point.
Forget the bright lights in the sky.
When she changes
about
the clothes,
the end.
No, not just the end, but I mean, at least in that first half of the movie, I immediately kind of decided on alien.
Mm-hmm.
Just from that scene with the clothes where she was taking off the clothes off herself.
Yeah.
Right? And you kind of even saw the lights in the sky that Damien mentioned flying away.
Mm-hmm.
When you got outside and she was leaving that building.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of decided alien. But at the same time, you could have said robot or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Some weird thing.
Yeah.
Right? Was going on. And she was trapping these men. And before I go any further with synopsis, I want to kind of preface. this discussion with my own perception of this movie. Mm-hmm. Like Douglas, this movie played at TIFF last year, and I opted out. I said that might go a bit too far for me. You know, enough people saw it and loved it that I went like, it's a movie I have to look out for. Around 2 months ago, I tried to watch it. Right? Wow. I tried. I got like around 30 minutes in, and I just gave up. Right? And I've kind of chose it as a movie this week, to kind of force myself to get through the movie. So apologies to you guys if you had to sit through what you may eventually tell me was eye cancerous for you. But it was for my own greed, my own selfish need to get to the end of this movie. But there's something I kind of found interesting that once I broke that point that I had hit in the previous watch that no one told me about with this movie, which is when she moves off from being an alien capturing people to kind of being an alien interacting with humanity and almost just not knowing what to do with herself and kind of being almost to the effect of a child. A child just going around the world and being like, okay, I'll go down that street with you because I don't know that it's bad, right? Or whatever. And it kind of does a very... It becomes a very good thing in most cases where when she... As I kind of did a mental jump, I didn't even really say it. After that first half an hour of her just capturing men or whatsoever, she ends up somehow changing her position and leaving her place of entrapment that she has for these guys and kind of going off into the world, and she randomly meets this guy, and she just kind of hangs out with him for the rest of the movie, more or less. And I kind of found it very interesting. I don't even know, want to use the words good or bad with this movie, because I don't know if I can qualitatively say that this movie is good or bad in any way. Because it, just based on the first like 30, 45 minutes, I think, I don't know how long it actually was, where she's actually doing, where she's actually getting all of these men into her car and taking them away. Like, it kind of just repeats itself over and over to a point where I wasn't sure whether the movie was just fucking with me, as opposed to actually trying to make a point. But then when I put it under the context of what happens in the second half of the movie, I feel it actually important that they had that long stretch of space of that happening where they were just kind of putting you in a mind-numbing state, right? Because it makes you a lot more attuned to what is happening with Scarlett Johansson's character, as she's just kind of sort of deciding that she should let that guy go. She sort of decides that she wants to go into this woods with this other dude. She's sort of deciding that sex, which she doesn't even know what it is, I'd assume, is probably a good idea. And it's a weird, fascinating movie that I'm not quite sure what it means to me yet. And I don't know how to really say it without sounding like really unsure of everything. Because I mean, I watched this last night, and it's a movie that I want to watch again. And I know that's already a point in its corner for me. If it's something that I'm curious enough to kind of just give it another try through, to kind of be like, to see how it lands with me, I'm highly curious. But Douglas, I am most curious about you, because Damon, I expect certain things from Damon, and I can find entertainment in what I expect from Damon, but I'm curious about Douglas, because this movie might be the most Lynch we've seen on this podcast. The most Lynchian of a movie we've gone through on this podcast. And we've watched David Lynch films. So Douglas, tell me what you feel watching
really
Under the
watch
Skin.
Watch a David Lynch film? Is that what you do?
Or does it just attack your eyes? Is that what you're saying?
I've been assaulted by David Lynch a couple times on this podcast.
How many times? I think it's just... Well, we did. Did we do a marathon for Lynch?
No, I did one. Oh, okay. But it was. We've only officially seen
Inland
we did.
I mean, I know I've seen Blue Velvet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have.
Yeah,
as
I've
well.
Seen it. The only one. The only one
I've seen Dune too. I'm not sure if I've seen much more.
The only movie of his I haven't seen is Twin Peaks. Because I haven't watched the series.
Good luck with it.
Yeah.
So I decided not to.
Can't wait.
Yeah, I tried the series. I forgot about that. I tried the series over. I think it took me. I think it took me 2 or 3 years to finish the first season.
Word.
I know there are people that love that show, and I'm not saying that there's anything.
There are people who love David Lynch.
Yeah.
There's people who love heroin.
And there's not really anything wrong with the show per se. But it just.
Would you like
it
to?
It was just a difficult. It was just a difficult.
Would you like to back?
That's very interesting.
Back that up.
But I'll ask you again. Mm-hmm. How did Under the Skin make you feel?
You really make me want to talk about this movie? Okay. Okay. So, this movie, it is. Very strange. There's not much. So a lot of movies, you get pushed on. They get pushed along by things like dialogue, things like interactions between people. That doesn't really happen here. This movie is a very visual movie, which generally would put it in my wheelhouse. Right, some of the visuals are really, really pretty, really odd, really just outlandish, which I suppose it should be for a movie about aliens that are out of this world. And you know, there are times that I'm kind of reminded of other movies, similar movies like, say, 2001, A Space Odyssey. And in that regard, I definitely respect this movie. But it's an extremely difficult watch because it's you spoke to the first half and how it was, you know, it was very repetitive, it was very monotonous, it kind of showed us that this movie shouldn't have, it wasn't Under the Skin, this movie should have been Scarlett Johansson the Manhunter, because that's all. The first, I would give it, if this was a 2-hour movie, which I think it probably
was.
It was
like 140.
Okay, 140. If it was 140, I think the first hour was just her getting men, right? And the only time anybody spoke was when she said, "Do you want to get into the car?" And they said yes.
It would be like, right? "Do you have any family?"
Yeah.
All right, I'm gone. Don't even ask the next question.
Yeah.
Just drives away.
Yeah. And it was always the same thing, right? It was get in the car, get to the house, go underwater, go back into the car to get more men, right? And so there's this pretty cool visual, actually, of whenever she gets into, and the place changes every time, her, let's call it her trap.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever Scarlett Johansson brings this person home into her trap, you go into the house or the apartment or whatever it is, and all of a sudden, it doesn't look like an interior. It looks like an expansive space, usually all black, and it looks almost like marble floors. And the two of them, they keep walking in a straight line, and you notice slowly but surely, Scarlett Johansson keeps walking on the floor, but her prey kind of gets sucked into the floor floor, like it's quicksand, or like they're walking into the sea, and at some point their head goes under, they're fully subsumed, and Scarlett says, "Okay, that's one down, the rest of the world to go," and she goes back out and tries to get another one. And there was a lot of repetitiveness about that portion of the movie. So much so that I started, and I wonder if this is kind of what they wanted you to do. I started to try and just, you know, in order almost not quite to get through it, because I wouldn't say that I was just like, "Ah, fuck this movie," but almost like in order to see the value of what was happening, I started to look at different other things about what was going on. For instance, what I noticed, and this could just be me being stupid, but I noticed that with each kill or each capture, so how she tries to capture them is she's a pretty girl and she offers them sex. Right? Who thought that would work? She says, "Would you like to come to my home and put me So yeah, she says,
she says, I feel bad.
She says to these men, "Would you like to come to my home and have sex with me?" And generally, they're like, "Yeah, why not?" And so, in order to keep the con going a little while, so that they can actually walk towards the light and get, you know, eaten by the floor, she seduces them. She takes off, you know, pieces of clothing. What I noticed was that the first time she barely took off anything. She like took off her jacket. The second time a little bit more. The third time a little bit more. By the last, by the time we got to the last one, she's like just butt naked, right? And I don't know why that.
Actually, I noticed that, but yeah. I thought of it in a different way. In that, I recognized that the guys would only begin to sink the moment they were completely naked.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I started to wonder if it was like some rule of the room. And I was hoping that she would eventually get fully naked and sink herself. Right? Like, magically, she's like, "He needed that as well.
Yeah.
Whoops, I'm sinking as well."
Yeah.
But that didn't happen.
Yeah, I know. And it wasn't even anything like I associated something to it. It was just an interesting trend that I noticed and was curious about. And this is a type of movie. This is a movie where you or I, when I like movies like this, one, it could just hit me the right way, but two, it's generally because of things like that, things that make me curious, and I say, "Oh, that's an interesting thing that happened there, and that color is really nice, and that kind of shit." And this movie had a lot of colors. This movie had it was strange because the thing that I think really did this movie a disservice was the way that this movie just it felt like it lacked any impetus. It the first half of the movie, three quarters of the movie, was this repetitive, "I'm going to hunt men and bring them home to be probed or whatever." And you find out that, I guess, the life is being sucked out of them.
That's what you kind of assume, because you get that scene where you actually see the guy under the water.
Yeah.
And you see the skin just kind of become, like, just almost like it was a jacket that's taken off of him, which is like this weirdly haunting image, right?
Yeah.
Like if we talk about horror movies and shit, I think that image alone, just the image of the skin just waving around in the water itself, is just frightening. And then eventually you get this shot of what you kind of assume is blood being pumped
out,
right?
Yeah.
It's not clear, but it's what I took from that little moment.
Me too. So to push the story along, you know, or in for a filmmaker to fully convey what is happening on screen from beginning to end of the movie and have the movie feel like all of its pieces connect, it's very difficult to do that without dialogue. And very few movies do that. And I'm not one prime example of somebody who got it right is Kim Kiduku with Mobius, that we saw, me and Andrew saw last year. But this movie, I think, doesn't do that well. And I think that's probably its biggest hindrance. Because you have the repetitive first half or first three quarters. And then, as you say, it's almost like a switch turns off in her head. It's like she decides, "I don't want to do this anymore." And I guess we can kind of take from what happened that maybe she felt sorry for the last one, because the last, her last prey was, you know, disfigured and from like, say, my point of view, I could be like, "Oh boy, don't! Why are you taking this guy? It's so sad."
And you could see from how she had to almost force him into the place.
Yeah,
that he was a guy who wasn't even thinking in that manner at all. He was very much going like, I know, it's kind of like you kind of like that scene in Sin City where Marv is talking. He's like, you dames wouldn't even let me buy you because of how I look.
Yeah.
He looks like he's someone who's been trained that way to the point where she had to, like, in the car be like, touch me.
Yeah.
Like, do you like that? Like,
yeah, and they say it when, you know, he's like, listen, I was just going to the supermarket because I can't go in the daylight. Because they'll fucking just make fun of me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't deal with that shit. He said that, you know? Like, so maybe that kind of made her snap and she let him go.
I mean,
but, you know,
I took a lot from that from that one moment after he was captured. She was leaving the building and she stopped in front of a mirror and she stayed there for a long while.
Yeah.
Right? And she just kind of looked directly into this mirror and looked and looked, and you could kind of feel she was just considering all of these things. She was thinking about all of these things as to what she was doing and more about that guy, which is why you end up seeing him being let loose, which cool. And like it's kind of why and we'll get into this later during the top five, kind of why I took this movie as a movie which is about aliens accessing humanity. And I find that intriguing because whenever we talk about aliens and movies, we talk about explosions, we talk about invasions, we talk about people being... Why am I mixing up this word? The British colonized. I just couldn't get the word right. Colonies and all sorts of shit happening. And we imagine like the apocalypse, and I kind of imagine... I guess I kind of hope that if we ever talk about these kind of things again in a real world, it would be about understanding. It would be about talking about just telling stories to one another and getting to the point where like we get each other and we just want to know more about each other's cultures. And that's what I found most interesting about this movie, which was, slowly but surely, she became this, I won't say person, this alien, who wanted to know more about our culture than she wanted to do whatever I guess she was supposed to be doing, which was just trapping people,
but
for whatever purpose that we don't know.
You see, the thing about it is, though, is that I didn't really get that, because the last part, for me, it seemed as if the first part of the movie, they spent a lot of time on every single detail of, you know, from her driving around, getting the people, fixing the trap, whatever. But for the last bit, they were just like, all right, just run off. And she, you know, essentially she's in her car, she gets out and she just walks away. And I think she meets somebody in a bus or on a bus stop or something like that. And it's not that she looks actively curious about anything or actively wants to be with this person or wants to try things or whatever. It's, you know, he's just like, you're clearly not, you know, okay right now. I'm going to take you home because something's wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because she doesn't speak. Not really at that point. And she's just she.
You think if she spoke, she would have been like, "How do you get onto the M8?"
Maybe those are the only lines that they taught her. I don't know. But
no, this is guys. but
yeah, you know, she didn't speak. She just when she walked and she followed him, she looked like she was a zombie. Like she wasn't quite there. And even after when she runs away because she finds out she doesn't have a vagina, unfortunately. Or that's what I took that scene to
be. That was the weirdest scene in the world.
That's what I took that scene
like,
to
that's
be.
What you want to just see when you're having sex with this girl. She, like, you're confused, you're lost, and then she just goes to the corner of the side of the bed and pulls the lamp close to her crotch, like, staring meaningfully, intently at it.
You know how proud I would be if that happened. I just broke her vagina. It's broken.
Was it? Wait, hold on. Was it that you broke her vagina, or was it that it saw you and immediately closed up?
Aggie, we're not playing this game.
Yet. Out of disgust.
I don't wait.
Win-win.
All my brain would have told me, and all I'd have told my friends.
Yeah, but at that point it was just like, yeah, we're done. And that's what it felt like. I think you and your curiosity are probably referring to that half a second scene where she vomited her chocolate cake. But
that was a big scene for me when I saw the chocolate cake.
Of course.
I was like, she's probably never had chocolate cake before. Like, I can just imagine.
No, but I took it even further. I thought she's probably never eaten before because she doesn't look like she eats or she sleeps.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, she's...
I thought you were going to say because she's a skinny...
Well, all right, fine. If you want to go that route.
Not that skinny.
No, she's not. But, you know, it's... I almost don't want to give an opinion on this movie because this movie is just one of those movies where you're like, it's not that it's bad.
Mm-hmm. It's just ungood.
It's just, actually, ungood is maybe the best word for this movie. It's one of those movies where you watch it and you're like, I know you're trying to say something, Mr. Director.
Mr. Highfalutin Director.
You're just speaking in Bulgarian right now. And... I'm like Bruce Willis. I speak two languages, English and bad English. And this movie doesn't speak either of those to me. And I don't know. As I say, the visuals are beautiful, right? This movie, it's very good looking. And there are moments where, you know, like me and my curiosity about her taking off her clothes, which may just have been... Me wanted to see her without her clothes on, but
what? Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, really? But you know, overall, I don't know about this movie, Andrew. I really don't.
So okay, I guess it's time to finally activate the Damien on this podcast. Damien,
you're all going to be very disappointed.
Oh, this fucker! Is he going to like this movie?
Damien,
God damn it!
I know you're about to tell us about the fact that you got to see a naked Scarlett Johansson in this movie.
No, he won't, because he'll say that's what the internet
is for. Exactly, that's what the internet is for.
That's what we presented to you in a 140-minute manner. Sorry, 100-minute manner. But Damien, what is it you thought of this movie?
All right. Until listening to you guys debate the merits or lack thereof of this movie, I thought it was just an okay movie. Because of course I didn't, like, there was no critical analysis of the movie.
Yeah, of course.
Watching it.
Yeah.
I was watching it and went, alright, Andrew picked another one of these movies. But listening to you guys and having to sit here and give a real actual opinion, absolutely no one is taking advice from us. That's not missing.
We are behind the curve all the way.
Alright. The movie is weird. But it's not good. We're joking when I said it is ungood. Scarlett Johansson barely gives a performance. She has the same face on because she's an alien, so she doesn't have to have a range of emotions. She just has to have this blank stare on her face. And then she talks to these men, and she goes, would you like to have sex? And they go, of course, Scarlett Johansson. The movie taught me that if Scarlett Johansson pulls up...
and offers to have sex with you.
Offers to have sex. You say yes. 100% of the time.
I thought the movie taught you the other way.
Even though you might end up...
In a
dark room, sinking through the floor.
Andrew, it's worth
the mere chance.
And understand, and none of them actually got to have sex with
her. But hold on.
Yes.
But remember that the last guy at least got to see her naked.
Right.
So even if you die, you hope that
you have
last
died
guy.
Happy. What else are you going to wait on?
David
can
say
he
broke
to kill
her. David can
right.
say
he... I could die knowing I broke her vagina. No, I actually didn't see the problems that you guys saw with the movie, especially at the start. I thought the movie started rather well. I thought the setup was good. Where I think the movie falls apart is when they actually try to tell the rest of the story. The thing with the cake, I saw, like the second I saw her with the fork, I went, I can't believe you're going to do this.
Exactly.
We know she's an alien. Why? You can't manipulate me now into thinking that, oh, there's something redemptive about her. No, she's an alien that traps people. Like, yes, they're not attached to anybody, but she's still... And they didn't give any context as to why she's doing it. Like, if they had done that, I think that would have played better towards how the movie ended. Like, oh, like, we're a race and we definitely need males in order to... Like, they did none of that. They
need blood.
Right, they just have this machine, I guess, that steals their insides and have their skin floating. The visuals were... Especially inside that room, mm-hmm. all the visual trickery was pretty impressive. But then when the movie is like, she's on the bus, and the guy's like, "Are you okay?" And he's like, "All right, strange woman I've never seen before. How about
who
I take you
like
to my
Scarlett
house?
Johansson.
How about I take you to my house? Because of course I'm going to do that. I am clearly a raper because that is the only that's not a. It's 2014. That is never an okay thing to do." I don't care how good she looks. You don't see strange people on the bus that look distraught and go, "I should take you home with me. This sounds like a good plan." Everyone you call when you tell them that story is going to go, you realize she's going to murder you inside your house, right? You understand that this is the end. And then, of course, he, I guess, makes her tea and puts her to sleep. And then...
He's a really good dude.
Right, all of that means, of course, she's going to have sex with me because... Living fantasy, that none of that made sense. Him breaking her vagina, also. They're like, "Alright, that happened," and then she runs outside.
I really like that last scene where you see the skin break off and you see the alien, just because
right,
it was like
visuals,
a really cool thing.
Yeah,
right?
All the visuals
and I liked,
in this movie.
And I liked it, was very obvious when you saw like the face come off,
mm-hmm.
that even that black face, like it was her, right? Like,
was wearing black face.
That's racist.
Like, you know, like even if they did it digitally or some sort of makeup or whatever, it looked really awesome, and you could see that it was Scarlett Johansson there as opposed to just some random face.
Yeah, so, like, towards the end, she is attacked and... Stop it.
What did I do?
And then the movie... Like, the movie cuts to, I guess, another alien. He's a guy with a bike.
Mm-hmm. He keeps driving around and we never know anything about
rides,
him.
Bikes.
Other than that open scene.
I guess he's the male version of her.
No. She's the trapper. He's the trapper. I mean, sorry. She's the trapper.
Mm-hmm.
He's the fixer. Because you notice, she let that fool go. And he was like, "I'm not having none of that shit." So he's the fixer.
Although that would make sense. Letting go of people like him are like hillbillies in the middle of the country. You can't let those people go. Because even if they tell someone that they were abducted by aliens, they're like, "Oh, sure you did."
And she looked like Scarlett Johansson.
So let me get this straight. A Scarlett Johansson looking woman
wanted to have sex with you.
Drove in a van, brought you home, you fell through the floor, and then you were released back to us. There's this nice padded room I wanted to walk into. I wanted to keep quiet in there. The movie just kind of ends. It kind of starts at, there's no context. It starts she's
seasons.
Trapping people for no reason other than being alien, yes. And then she arbitrarily decides, "I'm not trapping any more people." And then she makes another, she's like, "Alright, let me go with this man." And then she runs out, and after the incident happens, she's like, and the movie just kind of jumps from point to point. Then kind of ends, I mean, this movie's kind of dumb. But I kind of like it, I guess. The things that I really enjoyed about the movie is like the scene with the the baby crying on the beach, I enjoy that. Because even though I know it's a movie, and even though I know nothing happened to the children, something inside of me still kind of panicked.
Okay.
See, just hearing the child cry and having the water be that close.
I think when it came back and it was nighttime and you still saw the child there, that was frightening.
Yeah.
So, okay, you guys were frightened.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was the funniest
you want to know
movie.
You want to know
you
which
know
part
why?
Made me laugh?
Hold on, I think we're probably on the same page here. What I thought was hilarious, right? So clearly there's another child that's in the water.
Mm-hmm.
The wife has gone for the child.
Yeah.
And then the husband is like, what the fuck? And he's going as well. And then there's this like German tourist.
Yeah.
Who is like, I will save the day.
Mm-hmm.
He tries to swim in and fucking almost drowns himself.
Yeah.
And the husband has to drag his ass back and then go after his wife. I thought that was the funniest thing in the world.
There was this one moment, I think it was after she let the guy go and she was off on her own. Because initially she didn't just walk off, she was in the car for a while. There was this moment where she kind of stopped the car. And there were some youths that crowded the car. And they started accosting the car. And for some reason, my mind immediately went, where is Moses
from
Attack
the
Block? Because we have an alien in the block.
You're all...
So, okay. One last thing, though.
Sure.
Was I the only one that was weirded out by the throbbing erections that each of these men had as they were walking into
well,
this water?
Aren't they supposed
no, no,
to have
no, I understand it makes perfect sense. But every time I was just like, whoa! Because it was just like, it was...
Yeah.
It was just pointing through the television.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it went off the screen.
It's like
and
suddenly
was,
we had
yeah,
a 3D TV.
You know, yeah.
You should stop being homophobic.
Douglas, just be happy with what you have. Right?
I have read literally nothing about this movie, so I don't know what the internet point of view is. Although I can assume,
from this kind of movie
that
people love it.
They're jumping up and down like it's.
If you go to the right corners, you read a lot of people saying interesting things about this movie. I'm sure if you go to the other corners,
no, there's
it'll
thing.
Just be it'll just be flames of going. This isn't a movie.
The internet
you know
hates. Because
this is, exactly. And you know what though? This is one of those movies where I actually really want to know. I want to read some people's take on it. I want people to try and explain it to me. You know that way? Like,
no,
I'm like, I don't get it.
The thing is, with movies like this, whenever people talk glowingly about it, they use the fact that it doesn't make any sense as a strength of the movie. They don't go, you know, I like this, despite it not making any sense. They're like, no, you need to understand. Like, and they're never going to explain what happens in the movie.
Yeah.
But they're going to talk about it as if the movie... It's just this one.
Yeah,
giant.
But here lies the thing. Here lies when you're saying bad things about that kind of evaluative thoughts towards movies like this, is that they aren't thinking of the movie as a story. They're thinking of it as almost an emotion, almost a feeling or an idea. And somebody decided to go so closely to that one idea with this movie that is what they got out of it. It's almost to the point where an action movie forgets its story. And it's like, we are doing one thing and we're doing it perfectly well, right? It's the same exact thing. It's just for off the edge, like, emotive storytelling. And using that term storytelling probably shouldn't have been done, but you know.
I understand hippies exist. There's nothing we can do about them. I don't have to like it. And they clearly only write movie reviews. The movie
they write poetry as well.
I'm sorry, what?
And haikus.
Nope, never heard of either of those things. Don't.
No, I didn't work.
No.
It's 575, I think.
Yes. It's not 343. It's 442, Andrew.
352, which is taking over the league.
118.
I saw... side joke, I went on the Man United official site and I was looking at somebody from their social media or whatever put on a post where they were saying they went to Twitter and they asked Twitter what everyone's preferred starting lineup and formation would be this season, and they put in on one guy go 4-4-3, one man, I mean 4-3-3, one man go 4-4-2, one man go 3-5-2, one man down the bottom, and I don't know why they, as Man United, included this tweet, went 1-8.
Goalkeeper, and then we have just a solid line of people.
Because that's all we bought.
And then Falcao at the top.
That's all we bought.
That is it.
So why not play them like that?
Falcao. So dumb. Yeah, I don't dislike this movie. I'll probably watch it again. Although I said that about a lot of movies and it doesn't happen.
You did watch The Double Life of Veronica a lot.
Damien, have you figured out a movie yet?
There's nothing to figure out.
You should watch it again.
It is.
You should watch it again. I figured it out.
This is the worst.
And
yeah,
you
sure
watch
it is.
It
uh-huh.
Tell me what's the secret. So before I watch it, tell me what I'm to look for.
Yeah. The giant black screen when it ends. And it goes, Damien.
I'll make sure to look for it.
I went. The one joke I thought about the entire time watching this movie. It's every time they go into the van, every time a guy goes into the van and gets into the room, I just hear Mos Def playing Got. This is how you get Got. I'm an idiot.
No, you have to do it into a song. I'm an idiot and I don't care. Okay, that went a lot better than
I
expected.
Yeah, I did not hate this movie. There's not much to hate, though. There's no story, but it's weird enough that you kind of understand why there's no story. And there's not much. There's nothing to grab onto. And it's not like they didn't go all out weird, so there's nothing to point at and go, this is the weirdest shit, and I think people should watch it because of this. Or you go, this is the weirdest shit, and no one should ever watch this. It's the
questions. A couple weeks ago, or 1 week ago, if we go by when you guys actually heard the last episode, with us talking about that crappy ghost movie, I wanted a
ghost movie
below.
Yes.
Oh, remember
yes,
that?
Oh, right. Yeah,
remember
ship,
that shitty
okay.
movie you made us watch?
I remember that.
It's
movie was
really
awesome.
Bad.
It was the best TV made for TV movie
yes.
with ghosts
right.
on a submarine
underwater
right. in the English Channel
made in 1992
starring these people.
At that point, sure,
it was made in 2000.
I decided I wanted you guys to give me some underappreciated ghost movies because like, Damien doesn't like horror. We want to give him some stuff to actually look up and
yep.
and be like...
And then go, not watching any of this.
And the internet responded. One of the more popular responses, and I guess it is underappreciated to some extent, was The Others, which came from... which came
that's
from...
the one with
Nicole Kidman.
I was telling some people at work about that.
Why are you still talking to them? don't we have this conversation every week? Stop talking to them. You don't have to. There's no law that says
I kind of have to say hello.
No, you don't. Says who? Where is... I'm sure if you scan through your contract,
doesn't say
at no point it says you have to talk to them.
Doesn't say I have to be nice.
At all. Nope.
And like, just the way I remember that movie of a ghost story about these people who are being haunted by ghosts, and then you find out at the end that they're...
Use
twist,
and they're being haunted by the real people.
Was it M. Night? No, it was good. So it clearly was not.
Yeah, The Others.
Yeah, but the thing is, I don't even think that was that a horror movie, though.
Yeah, but
was
it was a ghost story.
It wasn't
yeah.
a horror movie.
But
well, it was more suspenseful.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But the thing about horror is there are all
people,
of those sub factions.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, right.
And some people would get scared by that movie actually, but
right.
I didn't really.
That's kind of why, for example, Nightcrawler...
I think that one is borderline.
Oh,
yeah.
Right? Nightcrawler is coming out in a horror area where they're expecting horror audiences to latch onto it because it's dark and crazy about
fair
evil... Like,
I shouldn't be the one because I don't watch enough of them to know the difference.
Those suggestions coming from at Ami. It's basically the one that I used to say at Aminal. Remember when I used to say that?
Animal.
Yeah, he used to say Aminal and criminal. Criminal.
Criminal.
Like, I just couldn't get it right for forever.
You also said
Surf ticket. And at Azelproc, which I don't know what that means.
Pretty sure that's racist.
At Dr. Joe Hyman returned with Lake Mungo, which I've never heard of. And when I looked it up on IMDb, it said, and I quote, "A supernatural drama about grief."
Word. Nope.
From 2008.
Yeah, I can't
you
wait.
Think, you can't think wait that one? Watch that. No.
Whose week is it next week?
It's.
No, you're not.
Bubba Wheat from Flights, Tights, and Movie Nights responded with Ghost Dad.
Oh my goodness, I'm so happy. Because, you know, I was actually going
Ben
to
Ben laughing horribly at that response.
I was going to cut in and say we have to remember Ghost Dad is
and saying that he probably thinks a grudge.
What the hell is Ghost Dad?
You don't know Ghost Dad?
Ghost that Dad with
Cosby
Bill Cosby.
Where he
dies. Oh, come on. What?
Don't you know Ghost Dad? You have to have seen
I
that
had
movie.
To. I guess I'll block
and
that out.
I'm pretty sure I might be wrong because I've watched
and
it so long ago. I have a feeling that the daughter in this movie could be, I can't remember her name. Do you remember The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Of course I do.
Do you remember the cousin that was kind of like the older one, but that was very, like, hoity-toity? What was her name?
Hillary,
yes. I'm pretty sure Hillary was the daughter in this movie, but, I kind of vaguely remember that from my, like, five-year-old self. Mm-hmm. No, I am absolutely wrong.
She was in the TV show Head of the Class, which I don't know what it is, but she was in all of its seasons.
Head of the Class.
Was this the one with the... Was this the one with him?
Wait a second. The Grudge with Sarah Michelle Gellar, The Grudge?
I guess, yeah.
Wow. Word! You're wrong, sir. I'd have taken Ghost Dad over The Grudge.
At that point.
Because I remember The Grudge came out around the same time as The Ring.
It was America discovering Japanese
everyone
horror and going, that's where we're going for our source.
I remember my entire family sat down to watch The Ring because we heard that it was the movie that will scare us for all time. Me, like six more people, and we sat there, and when that movie ended, I know knew exactly why my family was my family. We all turned to each other and went, what the fuck just happened? Did we just sit here for that? That is garbage. And I remember my friend next door came over and was like, alright, I know I led you astray with The Ring, guys. But I'm here for my redemption.
With The Grudge.
Here is The Grudge. And I don't think we talked to that dude anymore. I'd like to give Ravel Purge a shout out. You have shitty taste in movies.
Moving on the list. Sam Koff responds with what can only be called the greatest movie that involves the word ghost. It is Ghost. With one Mr. Patrick Swayze.
Of course.
Wait, sorry, remind me. Because
was that supposed
time.
To be a horror
what was
movie?
The question?
The most underappreciated ghost film.
Then that can be
okay,
there.
Okay, ghost film. Alright,
fine. Because
that's like, that's not...
Oh shit,
but,
I can't.
Okay, yeah. Huh?
You can't.
I should probably give it away anyway, because it's not like you guys can get it right anyway. What? Ghost made hundreds of millions of dollars, so it cannot be underappreciated.
No, it's definitely just underappreciated.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Nope.
Ghost, there
made
are...
Made zillions of dollars.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
Zillions.
That's a movie that everyone talks about, even to this day.
I don't know
day.
About talk about, but it did make
what do you mean talk about? Have you ever seen a comedy? Like a comedy spoof movie?
That doesn't do the vase.
That doesn't
scene.
Do
yes.
the
clay vase.
The clay thing.
Yeah.
Like that
they had a whole episode of Community on it.
Exactly.
No ghosting.
None.
Christy Pochko
sure, that's it. It's not. What?
That's not very
name.
Nice.
Name. That's actually her name.
That's not very nice.
That's Chris, actually her name.
Where is it? That is her name.
That
wow.
is her name.
Damon,
I'm sorry.
You need to issue a full
apology. That's not her
name. I actually talked to her just the other day about Batman.
You're being catfished.
Goddamn catfish.
But in catfish like that, all to the bad people can't do this anymore because everyone just knows they're being catfished.
Like that entire TV
no, but
show.
Yeah,
yes,
no,
there is.
I see my sister watches it every now and again. I'm like, why do you do this?
And
she's
apparently
like,
it's the same
it's
guy.
So dumb.
Yeah.
She's like, Damon, it's so dumb. I can't
and he's
stop
like,
watching
he's
it.
Like, kind of like the catfish detective
yeah.
because he helps people who are
oh,
being
yeah, he's
catfished.
Helping people.
That's mm-hmm. no. I saw like a half of an episode, and that's clearly what it's about.
No, the word helping is where I.
So Christy Pochko,
yes.
from the Popcorn and Prosecco podcast. You're trying really hard. mentions the 2011 film The Awakening, which I kind of half remember when it came
Robbie
out.
Robbie Williams has a movie called The
Awakening.
Yeah,
right.
No,
yeah, but that's an
80s
movie, and it's called Awakening. It's
that's
called
not,
The.
Is it 80s?
Oh, sorry, Andrew Robbins.
Yes. Oh, this is the movie.
Oh dear, I forget.
I have seen this movie. This is a movie with McNulty, and Rebecca Hall, where they're like. Back in the 20s in England, and there are ghosts in the school and stuff. I've never, like, I've saw it like passingly.
I don't think
yeah.
I've
barely
yeah.
remember it.
Don't think I've seen
so
it. It sounds familiar, but I don't know if I've watched it.
But I'm going to go ahead and give my favorite response to one Miss Rachel West, at Rachel is here over on Twitter, who responded with Shutter. Which, if you know anything about ridiculous ghost movies, right, and horror ghost movies, this is a movie which was remade in 2008 with one Mr. Joshua Jackson, right? And this is a synopsis of the movie. A newly married couple discovers disturbing ghostly images in photographs they develop after a tragic accident. Fearing the manifestations may be connected, they investigate and learn that some mysteries are better left unsolved. Now, when you, as someone who's trying to sell a movie, write a synopsis, like, how do you grade the synopsis? Do you start with the...
I mean, we can use UE scale, that is a R, that F, that is a super F, that is terrible.
Listen, stop. You guys are not
Joshua
allowed.
Jackson is in it.
You're
though.
Not allowed to rag on Charlie Conway, okay? All right. Flying V motherfuckers.
He was in Cruel Intentions.
Do you like that movie?
I think so. I don't remember.
There've been so many versions
I don't
think of
I've
that
actually
movie.
Watched that movie.
There's so you
really
have one. To have seen it in some form.
Oh, I'm sure I have.
Right, because there are at least 30 Cruel Intentions movies.
Mm-hmm.
I saw one a few years back, and it was like a Chinese. Retelling of it, and it was
no,
it had genuine.
Whoa, hold on,
incredible.
Did you just say that you watched a Chinese telephone version of? So you got like the which end of the telephone were you? How bad?
Well,
how badly
way,
miscommunicated?
Way, if I'm correct, Cruel Intentions, the original, is a French book, right? Then it went to America and became a shitty American teen movie. Then it got to China. That distance alone involves a lot of communication handovers. And I think China might have gotten a bit of a couple facts wrong.
Stop. China never gets anything wrong.
Because China don't care.
But moving ahead. Right?
Alright, we need to stop this. Okay, guys. Andrew, you need to cut this out of the podcast. And Damien, and Andrew, and Douglas. I must speak to myself as well.
Act like grown-ups, goddammit.
Thank you. We need to stop just chuckling at the stupidest. It must be crazy listening to the podcast. And half of the podcast is us quietly or sometimes very loudly, just laughing at bullshit.
As a listener of the podcast, what I will say is that I enjoy laughing at second time at our stupidity.
You know, it always caught me whenever I haven't listened to the podcast in a little while, but whenever I did listen to the podcast, and I was pretty good about it for a little bit, I'd be listening to it, and maybe it's because I listened to it while I was trying to work, and so my mind was only half awake. Somebody like, say, Andrew or you would just say, Douglas, what do you think? And I would look up from a computer and almost start talking, and then wait, say, hold on, I'm not on the podcast right now.
Wait a second. That's pretty good.
And it wasn't like that happened once.
Yeah.
That happened a lot.
That's the first time it happened to you, you wouldn't even remember.
Yeah.
Whenever that happened enough that you go, I need to stop this. People are going to walk past you. And there's something wrong with that one. He keeps reviewing movies no one is talking to.
And again,
nonsense. So, for next week, the question I was kind of thinking about, earlier today, I sat down, along with my brother and even my mother, I sat down and we watched the movie, Are We Here? Which isn't a very good movie, in case you guys are curious.
I was so very curious.
But more to the point, it got me thinking about movies that discuss, or kind of tangentially in any sort of way, mental illness. And there, people tend to talk about it a lot whenever those high profile movies come out, and they start to have that debate about movies and how they perceive mental illness and how it kind of affects our own perception of it. And I'm kind of curious, what movie out there do you use as your benchmark as probably the best representation of mental illness in a movie?
Can I go with Tropic Thunder? Because you just never go for that movie is so funny.
Forrest Gump was
Forrest Gump was awesome.
He was sick, in his head.
No, Forrest Gump. Run, Forrest, run.
The Scrooge McDuck movies. It's a real sickness, actually.
I'd actually like to say Frank.
Can we talk about Adam? Like, Adam is the best.
Yeah, but that movie doesn't do a fair depiction of that illness at all.
I don't care.
At all.
It doesn't, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody with Asperger's, yeah.
My favorite movie is a movie that you two dirtbags hate.
What's that?
It involves a wheelchair, and it was one of my favorite movies that year.
Was it that movie where the wheelchair just drove over?
I'm glad you don't remember, so I'm not going to.
Right! Quid pro quo.
Fuck!
Oh, I hate that fucking movie.
Yeah, you do.
That was so long ago.
Yeah.
He doesn't like that movie, though. He just likes Vera Farmiga. That's all that is.
No, I still like it. I'm actually waiting for it to go into proper definition, so that I can watch it again.
It was released in that sort of
transition.
Yeah, and one of those isn't high profile enough
to get.
There's
no way it's going to get one. You have 21 points.
Douglas Blackjack.
Robinson. Sure. Douglas Robinson, you have 24 points. It is week 9.
Two dozen. How many points did he have?
So we're back at once again, guys, doing the quiz. Go. I work with professionals.
to pay respect to the number one movie of 2014. The quiz will be from years 80 to 89.
Guardians of the Galaxy, bitches.
God damn right.
I hope you're happy.
I'm very happy. Number two draft pick.
Now, who should go first? Andrew will, because it's his movie. He's number one. Perfect. Andrew Robinson, do you remember the rules of his game? I don't care
really.
Anymore. Here are your first three movies. The Breakfast Club, Back to the Future, and the greatest movie of all time, Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Well, I'd like to tell you that you're wrong, because Rambo First Blood Part 2 doesn't have a great 80s song in it.
Sir, right? Sir, I'm just reading what is on the paper. Wham! Careless Whisper was the top single of that year.
So we have Back to the Future 1.
Back to the Future 1.
Breakfast Club. And
the
Rambo 2.
And the greatest movie of all time. Rambo First Blood Part 2.
I'm pretty sure that is the name of the movie. The greatest movie of all time.
Again,
I
am reading what is on the paper.
do I really have to guess a year? Holy shit. 84.
Incorrect.
Can I try?
You can try.
81.
Incorrect.
Okay, I guess.
No, sir. Can you put your movies in order?
What year is
it? What year was it?
1985.
85? Oh, wow.
God damn it. Right, they put out the best movie of all time, and then they said, Damien, you can be born now. My parents went, that is the greatest movie of all time. They started banging, and 1 year later, I was here.
Do you think Rambo actually inspired your birth?
I'm pretty sure it did.
Okay. They're like, we need that in real life.
Exactly.
Were they disappointed?
They are, no.
Alright, so I have to rank these in.
I mean,
in
you don't
office.
Have to. If you want points, you should. I can't force you to do anything.
I'm going to just assume the best.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to assume Back to the Future 1.
Okay.
I'm going to then guess Rambo 2, and then Breakfast Club, because Breakfast Club feels like a culty movie.
Andrew's right.
Oh, wow.
Back to the Future made $210 million. Rambo made $150. And the Breakfast Club made $45 million. Didn't make a lot of money.
So the best song does win.
Yeah, sure.
That's
sure.
The model we should use.
Huey Lewis
and the News does
okay.
win.
Douglas Robin.
So I don't know what song in Rambo beats.
Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Back to the Future Part 2, and
okay.
Batman.
So, I now know
mm-hmm.
that it's not before 1985.
Yes! I actually know what year this is.
Alright,
Chicago's. Oh, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Back to the Future Part 2, and Batman. Chicago's Look Away. Number one.
And it's 1980 to 1989, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. I go with 89.
Congratulations.
That's right.
Yeah.
I know for a fact Batman is 89.
Oh, actually, he said Batman. I didn't even remember that. I know that that's 89. Yeah,
I did say Batman.
Yeah, I didn't. I'm dumb. Okay.
Batman.
So, the movies are again Back to the Future 2, Batman, and what?
Indiana.
That's The Last Crusade.
Yes.
And these are all awesome movies.
Sure they are.
I'm gonna go with Batman, Back to the Future, and then Indiana Jones.
You are incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Robinson.
I'm going to once again vote for Back to the Future.
Okay.
Number one.
Mm-hmm.
Then I don't know. They all seem huge.
Yeah.
Then Indy, then Batman.
Incorrect. Batman made $251 million. Indiana Jones made $197 million. And Back to the Future made $118 million. So,
I'm still mm-hmm. winning, bitches.
You're still technically behind them, Douglas.
No, I'm talking about this week. Oh, I'm keeping the short term. Short term goals.
Focus. All right, fine. Lethal Weapon, Beverly Hills Cop 2,
Fatal Attraction.
I don't think I've ever seen Fatal Attraction.
What? Have you seen Fatal? You have to have seen Fatal Attraction. Okay.
I
believe so.
Give me your song.
Bangles.
Bangles.
Walk like an Egyptian.
I know the song.
Well, yes, you do.
It's
the top song of the year.
I'm going to guess 383.
Not even close. Douglas Robinson, would you like to try?
Remind me of the movies.
It is Lethal Weapon, Beverly Hills Cop 2, and Fatal Attraction.
Lethal Weapon.
Mm-hmm. Think.
Getting too old for this shit.
You were like 14 years old.
Yeah. I'd say 82?
Nope. 1987.
Alright.
Yes.
Lethal Weapon.
Beverly Hills Cop 2. Fatal Attraction.
Can't
believe you haven't seen Fatal Attraction.
Based on the fact I haven't seen Fatal Attraction, mm-hmm. I'm going to assume it's in the order you gave me.
Okay.
Lethal Weapon, Beverly Hills Cop 2, Fatal Attraction.
Not even close.
Can you remind me which are the actors in Fatal Attraction?
No, I'm not going to remind you of anything.
Because I think I know what that movie is, and if it is, I have watched it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, for me, in those 80s movies, especially that, because that movie happened like 20 million times in the 80s. No, what I'm saying is that movie, Fatal Attraction, happened. That kind of story happened all the time. Who's in this movie? Don't show it because it will have the year in. Well, it don't matter.
It don't matter at this point.
Michael Douglas and Glenn Close.
Okay, yeah.
I know the poster, that's what I know. I just wanted to make sure I was what I thought it was.
Okay.
It's the reason I put it on here.
So the three movies are what now? Fatal Attraction,
Beverly Hills Cop 2, and Lethal Weapon.
Beverly Hills Cop. Well, they did make Beverly Hills Cop 3.
And they
did
made
also
19
make. Exactly. So I'm gonna. Alright, is it Fatal Attraction just. That was the movie right then?
Like, I put these movies on assuming you jerks had seen them.
No, I've
seen. It's
I've
no
seen,
fun if you
I've
don't
seen,
know the
I've
movies.
I've seen that one.
He doesn't. I picked these movies based.
You know, everyone has gaps.
It's not
a gap. I manipulate these lists based on what I assume your expectations are going to be. So if you haven't seen one, then
it doesn't really work.
Yeah.
Alright, I'm going to start with Lethal Weapon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that Fatal Attraction, being the type of movie that everybody wanted at the time, can get number two.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have that other one,
Beverly
Hills
Cop. Fatal Attraction made $156 million.
See, it number one.
Beverly Hills Cop 2 made $153 million, and Lethal Weapon made $65 million.
You see, Andrew, Fatal Attraction and movies like Fatal Attraction in the '80s are essentially the same thing
as
our superhero movies.
It's
right
like that
it's
movie.
Like,
it was like a bomb. Wow.
When I saw,
I'm like. It made how much money?
It's that movie with Robert Redford that where he proposes to the woman to have sex with her for $1 million, right?
Proposal,
yeah. That's the indecent proposal.
I think that's the one.
Yeah.
Again, there are like five of those. But I think
everyone went and watched it.
Yeah.
But
Douglas Robinson.
Yeah.
Are you ready? Airplane. Stir Crazy. The Blues Brothers. Blondie's Call Me. Number one.
Blondie. Holy shit.
I watch all these videos and died with laughter today. Tears running up my eyes. Because I had forgotten these songs. Even though I put them on the list. I mean,
like, you looked up what's the biggest song of that year and you're
right.
Like,
I just did it in a vacuum, but today I went, I need to see these.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case they don't know the songs, I can sing it for them.
Awesome. Please, can you sing the song for me?
How about no?
Please, I'm watching.
Uh-huh, sure.
Can we go with 1982?
Nope. Would you like to try?
I will go for 84.
Nope, 1980. You guys don't know when Airplane came out? For real?
I know it was.
Sparta would have been a dead
I know it's
demon.
On the early end, but I'm not sure.
And don't you guys love the Blues Brothers?
I hate the Blues Brothers.
Jerk. Now put them in all. Airplane, Stir Crazy, the Blues Brothers.
Okay. This is a difficult one because you've picked three movies that kind of just, you know. Blues Brothers is a legend.
Mm-hmm.
Airplane has is just that movie that everybody loves again.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have what was the last one again?
Crazy.
Stir Crazy with the duo, the dynamic duo of the day, Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder.
Dude, were you about to say Hackman?
No, I'd always do that. Because that's hilarious.
All right. I think Stir Crazy was kind of on their latter days, so I'm gonna put that down low. So we have left then Airplane and what? Remind me? Airplane and...
Airplane
oh,
and
the
Blues
Brothers.
Brothers. Yeah.
I think Blues Brothers also... Well... would that have made money?
They did.
20 or 30 years later.
Yeah, they did.
Airplane. All right. I'm gonna just take a stab in the fucking dark.
Don't.
Oh, I like the other times when you're making educated guesses.
Don't call me Shirley.
Shirley.
I'm gonna.
I
go
speak
with...
jive.
Don't.
Don't worry, I speak jive.
Don't call me guy.
I'm gonna go
call
number
friend,
one
friend.
Airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I'm going to go with Men in Glasses.
Okay.
And number three, I'm going to go with Cowboy Rodeo.
Jack Turkey. You're incorrect. Andrew Robinson.
Airplane, Stir Crazy, then Blues Brothers.
No. Stir Crazy made $100 million.
Fuck.
Airplane made $83 million, and the Blues Brothers made
I knew Blues Brothers would be the last, but I assumed Airplane would have won that because that is legendary.
Yep.
Right?
'80s were a terrible time, filled with terrible people. Andrew Robinson, Stripes, Cannonball Run, or Your Eyes Only.
I have never seen Cannonball Run.
What the happening? What is happening? How dare you host a podcast?
83.
Nope.
Douglas?
81.
You cheated, asshole. Yep.
No, I didn't.
81.
I didn't cheat.
Congrats.
All I did, the
I
only thing
you
could consider cheating is I looked at my numbers and said, okay, it's not one of those. But I figured it was early.
I know you did.
okay. Stripes, Cannonball Run, For Your Eyes Only.
Yep.
Oddly enough, I kind of placed James Bond at that era to be a medium earner.
Mm-hmm.
Stripes was... that's legendary. But at the same time, that could be culty. And I have no clue what the fuck Cannonball Run is.
I hate you so much right now.
So I have no clue what to expect from it.
It's breaking the game.
So I'm going to
guess...
Your
ignorance.
So I'm going to guess James Bond wins it. Stripes and Cannonball.
No. And Douglas.
You said
Cannonball Run, Stripes and For Your Eyes Only.
I think Stripes probably is down at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Cannonball and James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna put Cannonball up top, I think. So Cannonball, James Bond, Stripes.
Stripes made $82 million.
Oh wow.
Cannonball Run made $72 million. And James Bond made $54 million.
So Andrew, Cannonball Run, which I knew about, I haven't watched it though, is one of those crazy movies with Burt Reynolds and driving cars from one area to another area. But
with Roger Moore,
I've seen. Is that what I'm hearing here?
I have not seen Cannonball. However,
both
what
my
I just found out is that Cannonball Run also had this fellow in it by
Burt Reynolds and Roger Moore
by the name of Jackie Chan.
So let me get this straight now.
And Dean Martin.
I have
and Farrah Fawcett. Holy
co-hosts
shit!
And Dom DeLuise
that have not seen. Yeah, alright.
I haven't watched Cannonball.
No.
I'm probably
I don't want
want to hear it.
I've probably seen bits and pieces on TV, but
I don't want to hear anything from
that,
either
no.
of you at this point.
So you're saying at this point we can't talk about movies anymore.
I don't. Especially you, jerk.
It's like smoking.
I love movies from the
80s. No.
I don't want to hear.
I have a specific 80s love.
To hear.
I love movies from the 80s that are about one crazy night.
What do you think Cannonball is? Do you think it is over the course of a week?
No, listen.
It is
different.
One crazy day.
That's a crazy day.
A crazy night.
It has like 20 different people and villains and shit.
I don't want to talk to you.
All I need is you know what it,
stop talking
you,
to me.
You know what I want, the perfect
Why
example of
so
of
this
of
is Smokey and the
Bandit
versus
after
James
Bond.
Is that
okay.
what this movie is?
Douglas Robinson, it is your turn, I ask you.
I guess
this sounds like looking at the synopsis for Cannonball Run, this sounds like the beginning of that cartoon with all the cars and stuff.
That is what it is. It is incredible.
Yeah.
I have to see this movie.
I cannot believe you two dirtbags come here looking down your nose at me. Sons of bitches. Douglas Robinson, it is your turn. If you get the year wrong in this, I'm going to come across and slap you in the face. Trading Places.
Yup, I'm about
War
to be slapped.
Games and Octopussy.
I'm about to be slapped.
Police, Every Breath You Take.
I'm about to be slapped.
Was the
exactly
number one song.
2004.
I'm going to stab
for
you.
For life.
My killers is with me. What year?
Remind me again, Trading Places and what?
War Games and Octopussy.
Thing is, I know all of these movies, but as to where they fall, 83?
Yes.
83?
Congratulations.
I know how I know
You've
this.
You've seen all these movies, right?
You said War Games,
mm-hmm.
Octopussy, and what was the other one?
Trading Places.
Yeah, I've seen all those. The only reason I know this for a fact, like,
mm-hmm.
fact, like I know now, is that a year ago, when he turned 30,
mm-hmm.
I had this grand plan to just buy movies from 1983. For him, and War Games was on the list. I didn't do it, but it was an idea that I had.
It's not a bad idea. It's real dumb. I like it. Put them in auto.
Okay, remind me again.
Trading Places, War Games, Octopus.
I will go with number one, War Games, number two, Octopus, and number three, Trading Places.
Incorrect.
Okay.
War Games, Trading Places, Octopus.
Nope. Trading Places made $90 million. War Games made $79 million. And James Bond once again manipulating you two idiots.
You know what it is? I honestly said to myself, I remember when the first Hangover came out, it was a big deal. They were like, this R-rated comedy just blew the doors off. So I'm like, oh, okay, Trading Places, an R-rated comedy, I love it, it probably won't be number one. That's kind of where I went with that.
And I figured that you guys did that. I figured putting James Bond in there to you guys. There's no way it'd be James Bond. You're all wrong. Andrew Robinson. Twins.
Ah,
The Land Before Time.
Whew.
And Die Hard.
Whew.
That's 88.
Whew.
Congratulations. Die Hard gave it to me, didn't
it? Die Hard gave it to me.
God damn right. Now I'd like you to put these timeless classics.
This is Twins, Die Hard, and The Land Before
Time. The Land Before Time.
You see, the thing about it, right, is Land Before Time has around 20 sequels.
Oh, it's so warm and fuzzy.
But pretty much all of them are
straight to video
sequels.
Mm.
I don't know what to gauge about that.
Mm.
Die Hard, I kind of imagine semi-culty. Like, it made money, but not gangbusters, maybe?
There's 19 of them. 19 Die Hards.
And
19
what was,
Land Before
what,
Times.
What was the other one?
And the timeless classic, Twins.
Twins. And Twins seems like the perfect movie. Like, that seems like the winner.
Mm.
Right? Like, it... That looks engineered for money.
The 80s are dumb.
Arnold Schwarzenegger
in
a comedy.
Let's put these dipshits together and we just swim to the bank.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to bet on Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bet on Schwarzenegger. Because he's a money man. I'm going to go Twins, Die Hard, Land Before Time.
You are correct.
Yes!
Twins has to be number one. You know why? They didn't make a part two. What they did do was come back together again. Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger for Junior.
Shit, yeah. I forgot about Junior.
Yeah.
Douglas, I think it's only fair to tell you that you are no type.
Oh, this is fantastic.
No, I'm winning.
What are you talking?
Short-term goals.
I don't think
short-term goals.
You understand math, so stop talking to you. Douglas Robinson, the prequel to the greatest movie of all time, First Blood, Conan the Barbarian, and Tron.
Tron.
Olivia Newton-John's greatest song of all time.
Gonna get physical. Physical.
That's my
worst
favorite song, from her
of
ever.
That song and video is so confusing to a young man. It is that is the worst song about sex that has ever been sung by anyone. It doesn't make sense. There is a exercise video on
the
screen,
video.
And the song is about boning.
Damien,
it doesn't make
sense. It's not about boning.
Hold on, stop.
It's,
hold on.
That song is about getting in shape.
Hold on.
Let's get animal.
So Damien, let me get
it's
it straight.
It's about living a healthy lifestyle.
let me get this straight. Let me get this straight, Damien. When you were bored, because I know this didn't come out well, this was... Yeah, you were confused about the song because of the video. Like, you saw it and you were like, I hear sex, but I see... When is
Andrew,
it that this confusion occurred in you?
Andrew, for a long time, we didn't have a TV station in this country. We had one single one. And then it was renamed to Super Supreme TV.
Oh, yes.
For a few glorious moments.
I keep telling you.
I got to laugh every single day.
I don't know if I talked to you guys about this, but I brought this up recently. I always remember Super Supreme.
I will never forget it.
There was a name in between Super Supreme and TVJ that is today, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what that name is?
There wasn't any.
There wasn't?
There was JBC first.
Yeah.
JBC Super Supreme.
And then it was Super
TVJ.
Supreme.
Yeah.
Because some fool won a contest and named it that.
Oh, really? Is that what
happened? Yeah, that's
what
happened. And
I
went, this is
that.
The best thing. Even as a child, I went, this is the greatest.
There was another name before.
I thought
TVJ
that was like a decision that they were like.
All I remember
no,
was
no, no.
JBC.
No, JBC is a Super Supreme.
Then Super Supreme.
And then they went to TVJ.
And then they went to TVJ.
But I keep remembering one in between.
I don't remember.
No, alright.
Or maybe they changed it and I was so distraught. I couldn't remember.
Anyways, yeah, you were doing Douglas's thing.
Right.
Remind us, because we've gone so far. I don't think he's even named the year yet.
It is the prequel to the greatest movie of all time. First Blood.
The greatest Rambo movie.
Conan the Barbarian and Tron.
82?
Yes.
I gave it away.
No, you didn't.
No.
Those are all early 80s, and that means it's either 82 or 84, and I just guessed it would be the earlier one. Remind me again, Tron.
First Blood.
And
Conan the Barbarian.
Fuck.
Can't pick one.
Okay. How's about... a three-way
tie. It's about your points.
Oh no! Okay,
that actually make ridiculous if he actually does that to us once.
It would be so hard to get that.
I'm going to try. When I get hands on this game, I'm going to try once.
So
see if I can get that.
I need to remind myself one more time. Tron. What else?
First Blood. And Conan the Barbarian.
Conan. Okay.
The
I'm gonna go with Tron number one.
Mm-hmm.
First Blood.
There's first in the title.
This is the first time each
first blood.
There is a First Blood Part 2.
And then there's Rambo 3.
The first time
they don't understand how numbers work. There was never a Rambo 1 or 2.
And then there was just Rambo.
And then, nine films later, just
Rambo.
Fucking Rambo.
Yep.
I hate everything about this.
Rambo Balboa.
God.
Alright,
I'm just gonna go. Yes, I'm winning. I'm just gonna go with it. Tron. I almost said Rocky. First Blood and then Conan.
Nope.
Yeah.
Tron, Arnold, Stallone.
Nope. First Blood made $47 million.
Wow.
Conan made $39 million.
Oh really?
And Tron made $33 million.
Really?
Mm. Even then everyone knew better. Everyone went, he's garbage.
Still winning.
Andrew Robinson, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, Beverly Hills Cop, and Ghostbusters.
84.
Congratulations. Prince When Doves Cry. Best song of the year.
I almost got it wrong until you said Ghostbusters.
This is what it sounds like when the eagles cry. Thank you, Theo.
So, remind me again, Ghostbusters,
Indiana
Jones, and the Temple of Doom.
And the Temple of Doom. And Beverly Hills Cop.
Uno. Right?
I said Cop, right?
Just making sure. I know you like to not say numbers. I am going to go with Indiana Jones, followed by Beverly Hills Cop, followed by Ghostbusters.
Not even close.
Wow.
Douglas Robinson.
What were the three? Indiana Jones, Beverly Hills Cop, and what?
And Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters.
Pretty good in college.
I go with Ghostbusters number one. Shit, what are the other two?
Indiana Jones and Beverly Hills Cop.
Part 2, Indy Part 2.
Fuck, Indiana Jones can't lose. Alright, I'm gonna try and say Indiana Jones second and Beverly Hills Cop last.
Incorrect. Mm-hmm. Beverly Hills Cop made $234 million. Ghostbusters made $222 million.
Indiana didn't win that?
Indiana Jones made $179 million. That
Damon.
Is how you manipulate people.
Damon, are you telling me? Are you telling a movie which involved a man going into another man's chest and take out his beating heart while he's still alive didn't win?
I'm telling you that Beverly
more,
Hills Cop
more
beat
specifically,
everything that came
more
out that
specifically,
year.
A movie that was about a man named after a car part is beat Indiana Jones.
Yep.
A car part.
It is now your turn. And I've saved the best for this. Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, love that movie.
Crocodile Dundee. And Top Gun.
Burn him down.
Leaves 86. Burn him
down.
Hang on.
Yes, hang on while you check the numbers.
To the
danger zone!
I'm going to go with 1986 for 100 points, Alec.
You don't get 100 points.
Dion and Friends put out That's What Friends Are For.
Look, Danger Zone is the only song we need.
Danger Zone!
Okay.
Yes.
Remind me again. No.
Ferris Bueller versus a giant knife versus a plane.
What the fuck? Alright, let's. What's a giant knife? Because I'm going to have okay.
That's not a knife.
This
is
on
us. Wow.
I love the driver who has like the spoiler on his car, right? Eventually gets to pull it off and use it as a boomerang. Why? Because we're doing Australia in New York.
Damon,
we are racist.
One last time.
Yeah. Ferris Bueller. A giant knife. A giant Australian knife.
Part 1.
And a plane with the greatest song of all time.
A jet plane.
Alright. I'm gonna go with Top Gun number 1, Ferris Bueller number 2, and Butter Knives and Real Knives number 3.
Incorrect, sir.
Oh,
no. You have 0 points.
0 points.
And Andrew with a chance to go ahead once and for all.
I'm feeling the pressure.
With 1 week to go.
I'm feeling the pressure.
Can Man United do it? I'm sorry, can Andrew Robinson do it?
Because Man United can't.
He shoots!
I haven't asked you about Welbeck.
God, Wenger is the worst.
I look forward to seeing Welbeck play for you guys for the next 6 months.
There's no way.
Who you gonna play, Sanogo?
I'd rather start myself. I'll score as many goals as Welbeck.
So Top Gun, what are the other two?
First you first and Crocodile Dundee. Stop playing Danger Zone in your head and focus. First Bueller, Crocodile Dundee, and Top Gun.
I'm going to go. I have to give it to Top Gun. Right, sure, Top Gun has
that's
to
what
be the
he
winner.
Did, and that worked out swimmingly. Do you remember what he said? Because I know you're going to do the thing you always mock him for, you know. Which is the exact same order.
I'm going to go Top Gun, A Day in Chicago, and Australians in New York.
Yes! Yes! He said it! Oh, I fucking knew it!
It worked!
Yes! Yes! Sons of bitches! We just broke the podcast! It's over! It's over! I even said it to him ahead of time, and he still did it!
I thought
you had
it. I thought you had done in the middle. That is not my final
answer. Damn idiot.
So, Damien, enlighten us, please.
Jesus Christ.
And I would, before you do, I would just like to point out, I'm still not losing.
You're still not losing. In fact, I should take points from this year.
So
even with a warning, he's still there.
Are you saying that we're going to the final week?
Tied, yes.
So we have to come with tiebreakers?
Yes.
Idiots. Top Gun did win 176. So guess what didn't come second?
So
Andrew
Dundee
Robinson.
Came second. Oh my goodness.
So Dundee came second.
With
so
174.
If you had figured it out, you'd have gotten the point.
And first, Bueller made 70 million.
In my defense.
100 less.
In my defense.
You do not listen.
I do not believe in a world that has Dundee beat first Bueller. I'll give it to Top Gun. But Dundee can't beat first Bueller. Because
yeah.
First Bueller
if
is
if only someone had said it not 60 seconds before, then this wouldn't have happened to you, would it?
And also in my defense, there was a danger zone.
Yes, but it won. We all agreed. The danger zone won.
In my head, I mean. Like, the song. Stop the song just killed me.
Andrew now has 24 points. And Douglas has done something no one has achieved since he started this. Getting 0 points in a week. The week he should be more
Double
familiar
dozen.
With.
Double dozen.
You're an idiot.
Take a drink, kid. Jesus Christ. It don't seem real. I ain't gonna never breathe again, ever. How he's dead. And the other one, too. All on account of pulling a trigger. It's a hell of a thing, killing a man. You take away all he's got, and all he's ever gonna have. Yeah. Well, I guess they had it coming. We all have it coming, kid.
So this week's top five, given us talking about Under the Skin and aliens and all sorts of things, why is he laughing? I don't get this one.
Because his list is garbage.
No. Actually, my list is garbage. But, I'm laughing for the stupidest reason in the world, and nobody would know this. But so Under the Skin, I just for some reason because he said the name, I came up with a theme song for Under the Skin.
Right?
Would you like to hear it?
I know what it is.
What is it?
It is the Disney
song. Yes.
He was singing it in a Jamaican accent. A poor, poor man Jamaican accent.
And then he's
Congratulations.
You have to come up with words for the song though. You have to come up with, like, when he sang Under the Sea, he said things that were actually under the skin or happening. I want to hear your version of Under the Skin.
You can
literally happening
the
under
song.
The skin.
Exactly.
Yes.
You could.
Nothing is better or when it's better, take it from. That is why all the people fell through the floor in the water.
It's perfect. Anyways. Under the Skin, aliens and all sorts of stuff. I wanted us to talk about a top five list, which I guess the idea itself I rip very, very keenly from the Film Spotting podcast. Every year, at the end of the year, when they talk about their favorite films of the year, eventually the conversation comes down to not so much us like having a graded scale of movies that these are the ones that hit the top of the scale, but the movies you most importantly want to keep that you think have the best representation of humanity. That if someone came out from anywhere and was like, this is the first movie I'm ever watching, what movie would you put in front of them? I want us to talk about that. I want us to talk about our top five films that if the aliens invaded today, we would use as the example to show them that humanity is worth saving. Right?
We're making a lot of assumptions.
And go with it as you will. I want Douglas to start.
Okay. So we go to my list.
Let's see how weird this list gets.
My number five.
Because I am taking this seriously.
There's actually reason to my list.
Oh. I have reasons written
there's
down.
There's absolute reason, but
his list is garbage. Okay. I am sure.
So my number five is Condor Man.
Mm-hmm. I'd love an explanation for this.
And
I know one person listening to this right now who is like actively throwing his iPod in the garbage.
Did you make Ryan watch Condor Man?
I
that's
didn't
it.
Unsubscribe
no. but I harass him about that a lot. And under this umbrella,
uh-huh.
Like, I think that might be more than a stretch to bring up that that movie.
I know, right? But essentially,
Apple right now.
I can't live in a world where my overlords, said aliens, don't appreciate the greatness that is Condor Man. They don't. Fuck them, I'll fight to the death.
I don't think he understood the list.
I don't think he did either.
Alright, my number five, and this is going to be probably the most obvious of any of my picks, and it is the 2012 film Cloud Atlas. Like, we have a lot of movies which talk about perseverance of the human race and our willingness to move forward. And there are a lot of movies out there, the ones which we actually like a lot more, which talk about the horrible side of it, which is the actual oppression and just bad-minded and all sorts of horrible things which we like, these dark, brooding stories. But what I love about Cloud Atlas, other than it being this array of stories over time, is that it shows that the human race, and through all of these stories, if you look at it the right way, you will see that humanity as a whole always kind of autocorrects itself to wanting to move towards a direction of positivity and love and actual hope, right? We will have all of these horrible things around us, but there's always that one guiding light that pushes us forward. And if you contextualize the story properly, you get that guiding light. And I love it about that movie. And I think that can kind of convey that to anyone else, you know?
Can I call he sees the word? Should I have you thought to the alien.
Please don't kill us, aliens.
So, I assume that if when the aliens come, if they bother to speak to us at
and,
all.
And XCOM failed. XCOM
right.
Unit failed.
XCOM failed.
The person running it. You weren't running XCOM.
I was busy. They had Andrew run XCOM. And now we're Andrew's A dead and now we're born.
So now they're asking me, why should you people be allowed to live? The first thing I'm going to do is say, look, if you are going to understand humanity and why they deserve to be here, you need to see what all of humanity sees. And I will hand them the most popular film of all time and say, this is what more people have seen than anything else in the world. Pocahontas in space. Avatar is the first movie that I give them. Now you know why we are the way we are. We're all idiots. Everyone went to see. There's not a human being that you see before you that has not seen this movie. And so that is number five.
Wow.
If someone comes to you and they say they haven't seen Avatar,
I'm going to shake their hug them. Say, you will live in a world that we shall live in. Never let go of this. This is what makes you unique. This is what makes you special. Douglas Robbins.
Hi.
Hello, Linus fan.
Because it's going to get worse.
Oh, it gets worse. So, okay, Condor Man didn't work, right?
They still don't like us. They fucking hated
that movie. And they're like, they just want me to kill you more.
They phoned Michael Crawford and killed him because of that movie.
Exactly. And so first I'm upset at them. But then I say, hold on. I may not want to live in a world where my overlords don't like Condor Man. Why don't I figure out a way to get rid of that world? And so I show them my number four movie, which is Man of Steel. And I try very hard to convince them that Superman is real and that he will find them and he will kill them.
You understand, Liam Neeson didn't play Superman.
You digitally fix that though, right? Liam Neeson is now playing Superman.
We'd have had the technology.
Of course, yeah. So,
Damien, yes. I think this list was a mistake.
I think talking to Douglas most of the time is the wrong thing to
do.
Oh,
guys, it gets better. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah, sure it is.
Oh man, okay. So this one is a bit odd, and it's kind of the fact that I feel I would be, even though I'm trying to make a case for humanity and I'm trying to save us, I feel it would be poor taste for me to lie, outright lie, right, about people and humanity. And I'd kind of give them a shot with Lost in Translation. Because one of the most important things I find about that movie...
Right, you figure if they're asleep, they can't take over. Like, oh, this is boring. If this is what they live like now, we don't even need to take over. Can just swoop down, take what we want and leave. They're all bored to death.
The most important thing I find about this movie, the more I watch it, is how this movie wants to portray us people as these flawed human beings who... We're always wanting. We're always lost in this world. We have no clue what we want, what we're doing. You see scientists start off producing crazy things, but at the end of the day, we're just cogs in a machine that we have no clue where we're going. And I feel that the movie, more than anything else, would hopefully give the aliens a feeling of empathy towards us. And they would start to be like, maybe it's not worth killing off all of these people or colonizing them or whatnot. We'll just leave them to be lost.
Right.
And they'd get to see Bill Murray, which is important in life.
That is true. After having the aliens see Pocahontas in space and have care even less about humanity. Well, we thought they were an intelligent species, but turns out they aren't. I would then show them what it is we do to ourselves on a far too frequent basis. I'll show them the act of killing. Say, I know you think you're going to come here and do evil things to us. Let me just show you what we do to ourselves.
Actually, do.
On a regular basis. Nope. So that they get a better sense. We're both stupid and real, real violent.
The weird part is I thought about that movie and I didn't put it on the list, mainly because I thought you would bring it up. And it's for this one moment, I'm sure I talked about it when we talked about the movie, later on in the movie where you see him watching the footage back, mm-hmm. and he's watching it with his children, and you see him break down. And I feel that moment is worth it just because they would be like, at least they can see that they're horrible people eventually.
And then not care. And go switch right back to not care. So that's my number four.
You guys ready?
Not really.
Not really. Mm-hmm. So my number three. I showed them Superman. And I tried hard, right, mm-hmm. to convince them. And I think I probably did. But these are some super tough aliens. They're like, we can take one like scrawny little man in a blue suit and cape. What's he doing? So I said, okay, fine. Watch this movie. If you're not afraid of one superhero, what if I had a group of people, just a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
and they will all kill you.
Right.
And that movie is The Avengers.
Of course, so Damien.
Yeah.
Don't you find it very interesting that Douglas doesn't have a list today for some reason? Why is he not sending anything for the last 20 minutes?
He sent out this email a long time ago. He was on the podcast. He did the quiz. He reviewed the movie. And then he just disappeared for the top five. I don't understand what happened.
Yes.
So my number three, because somehow Douglas didn't have anything to say there, is a movie that I feel would represent us, I hope, for the most part, generally, about at the end of the day, everything put aside, we just want that personal connection. We just want that connection. And most times, if not through that singular person, through a different person, but this movie, it focuses on fathers and sons and that desire to have that connection with your father, and sometimes you really just need to play a game of catch with your father. And I'm going with Field of Dreams, because it's a movie which kind of discusses the idea of having faith in not knowing and eventually getting to that point where you get to have that cathartic moment with your father that you never had before.
Yeah, you lost me with this picture.
And it's one of those emotional, one of those very feeling movies which I feel might just do well in...
Is your entire plan just to board it, you know?
I want them to feel so much that they just go into a ball, curl, and start crying, and then eventually leave.
I think it's a baseball. I think... People just love, especially in the States.
That is,
people just love baseball.
Douglas, that is
and
all
that's
I
the
see.
Only reason
that is
people
the only
like that
thing
movie.
That
I don't
is there.
I don't know.
Nothing
it.
Else about that movie is even remotely. Right. So after showing them the act of killing, I go, all right, look, most people are dirtbags, given the opportunity. There are quite few of us that you might not want to murder off, or you can murder them last, so that the rest of us don't really pay any attention. And I'd show them Schindler's List. Another terrible situation, but there's a few people there worth saving. And so that would be my number three.
You guys are looking at me with such expectations.
Yeah. Your list has been so good.
It has. So, okay.
Never mind, no one will
I know
ever hear it.
Andrew used to do this. I know Andrew used to watch this show, but Damon, have you ever watched the original Get Smart TV show?
Yes.
And Max, it's Maxwell.
On one of the flicks, yes.
Exactly. Maxwell Smart, right? The lead character, the lead secret agent.
Yes.
Would always get into some ridiculous situation.
Sorry.
Right? Yeah.
What was it? Name for the girl.
99. Yeah.
In my brain just now, I was wondering, did they call her Agent 69? That'd be fucked up.
No. There weren't. Mel Brooks wasn't quite that far gone. Maxwell Smart would always get himself into the worst situations. He'd, mm-hmm. you know, decide, you know what, I'm going to walk right into, I think they were called Chaos. Chaos's headquarters, and just nab everybody. And then they'd all surround him and be like, shit. I didn't think this through. And so he'd immediately say to them, you're all surrounded by, you know, our agents. And they'd be like, we don't believe you. And he'd always say, okay, well, would you believe a news truck and a reporter? And they're like, no. And then he'd be like, would you believe a llama ridden by a cowboy, and it just keep going. And I think that's kind of what my list is, right? So I started off, and then I went to Superman, and I said, "Would you believe Superman?" And they're like, "No."
So you're going further, so I'm like, instead of
would you Noah. Believe Avengers? And they're like, "No."
So no, you started with Condor Man,
right? Yeah, yeah, and in a subliminal way, Condor Man was also he was a clearly wasn't a superhero, but he was, you know,
he'll build some magic tools,
yeah, exactly.
And feed him.
So would you believe that if, all right, fine, they are confident enough in themselves that not only can they defeat Superman, they can also defeat Avengers and Hulk smashing. I don't know how they're going to stop Hulk from smashing, but alright, fine.
Would you guys be able to defeat Aquaman?
Exactly! But
they'd be like, are we in water or on ground?
So essentially, what they're saying to me, right, is that, fuck you Earth people. We're better than you. Nobody from Earth can defeat us. And so I'm like, okay.
Superman isn't technically from
Earth. Right, yeah, but he, you know, he lived
most
here.
Most of the Avengers what? Technically are
he, from come Earth. On. Let's not get into semantics here. But would you believe...
Mm-hmm.
Fine. They can beat everybody on Earth.
Have you heard of Chuck Norris?
Exactly. No, the thing is, though, Earth has friends.
Mm-hmm.
Earth has friends outside of Earth.
Oh.
Right?
Like the Avengers.
Does it have a raccoon?
No, it doesn't have a raccoon.
No, he didn't say Guardians.
But...
They have friends. Super friends.
And every once in a while, we call on them to help us out. So, essentially, I'm saying here, would you believe Lilo Dallas, Multipass, the Fifth Element? That's my next level of trying to scare them away.
Good luck editing this.
Douglas, you are a moron.
Oh no, not yet. Don't wait before you pass judgment. Because
oh no, we can't pass judgment. No.
No, you haven't heard.
Oh
the
no, oh no, we, no, you're an idiot.
So my number two,
still perturbed as to Douglas's silence throughout this entire list.
Don't know where he's gone.
Is one of Douglas's favorite movies actually, and I feel it important to show it to the aliens because, like, as I've mentioned in a lot of my movies, we are flawed as a species, as individuals. We are constantly flawed. Our desires get the best of us. We do things which are bad. Right, but I think it's important to note that given our poor decisions in context, they can sometimes be understood. And more importantly, if we were able to go back and make that decision again, we might just do it better. And I think this movie does that the best, as it reminds us that we will get it right eventually if you give us a chance. And it's Groundhog Day, where Bill Murray is just forced to relive this day. And sometimes when I watch this, I feel it's not so much that he's put in purgatory, but I think he's put in a place where someone is forcing him to get it right. Right? You have to turn. It's like having to turn the lock the right way. You know, it's one of those movies, and I feel that it probably would do a good job on Aliens. Like, on top of everything else, it's funny. They'd enjoy it. They'd be like, we can't kill Bill Murray at least.
So, I first showed him the most popular movie of all time. And then I showed him two movies of humans being terrible. But in one of them, where there's a few that are worth saving. I'd say to them, look, we knew you were coming all along. We have many, many movies about you guys coming. You're not going to... We don't want you to kill all of us. You're clearly coming here to kill some of us, and that is fine. But for the ones that you don't kill, if you could put us in a Men in Black type situation,
That would be greatly appreciated.
I thought you would have been a Matrix situation.
And then I would have showed them Men in Black. See, this is what we'd... This is the preferred method. Instead of you eradicating all of us, we'd like it to be this situation. If you could watch this and set up something like that, that would be terrific. Douglas Robinson.
Would you live in the Matrix knowing that you lived in the Matrix?
No.
But ignorance is bliss.
No, honestly. No, even if I knew.
No, you know that if you rap out, it'll be struggles.
No,
and hard.
Right. They plug me in and they're like, look, you know what is on the other side. It's not pretty. But we can give you all this shit on the inside.
And all you have to do is be their batteries.
Right.
Quote unquote.
The problem is, once I know that, all I want to do is crazy shit. All day, every day. And all that would
do
is
like
annoy them.
You'll
right. All I would do is annoy them until they'd have to take me out. Every time we put you in, we ask you specifically. Not there. You can't fly. You can't run faster than Usain Bolt. There's no teleporting. Can you stop it, please? For Christ's sake. But I know I can. How am I? You want me to live like a regular person? I know none of this shit is real. All I have to do is think up more and more awesome shit. Right? My dog fires grenades. That doesn't even make sense. Right? I have a bear that is my bodyguard. No one knows how. No one knows why. I know why. They're like, stop it. If you do this again, we're plugging you out. You understand that? Oh, I'll be dead in like a day. I'm out of meetings. They're like, we can't keep this fool in the Matrix anymore. He's too dumb. He's too dumb.
I really did that just to delay Harry Douglas.
Yeah.
The board.
I know this is going to be... He's brought up some bangers
so
far.
Do you think I'll actually stab him with the screwdriver?
What I really think you should do is edit it. I really do think you should.
So Douglas,
you're
attempting to save humanity.
When you edit, leave him in, but just the title of the movie. And just us going, okay.
So let's do it one time. That was a good pick, Douglas. Okay.
Sure, Douglas. Okay, Douglas.
Sir Douglas, you're number one, sir.
Regale us with
you're
your
attempting
number.
To save humanity. What
so,
is the number one thing
yes.
you're using to save humanity?
All right, so intimidation hasn't worked.
Right.
The aliens appear to be bringing in their specialized war mobilization units, and they're like, oh, I saw this Fifth Element girl like a couple of years back. We got rid of her, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Produce her.
So I'm like, okay, alright, fine. I've got one last movie. I'm going to show this movie to you. And think of it as a metaphorical poison pill, if you wish. I'm not going to, you know, say to them, we are the greatest, or there are things worth saving here. I'm going to show them the worst movie ever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to show them The Butcher Boy.
You're going to try and
scare them.
So
that is a scare tactic.
And so after watching the 5-hour long Butcher Boy,
cut, oh shit,
just
we have fucked. We have
I think
a planet of
I
intelligence.
If their brains do not explode,
yeah,
spontaneously. They will at least rethink the whole matter.
I think they would murder you first. like 10 minutes in, the gun would go.
Yeah,
and
but
like,
guess
yeah.
what? When they leave, they name a high school after me, okay? All right.
Here lies Douglas Robinson School of Saving Our Asses.
Everyone must watch Butcher Boy.
No, they lock that away in our vault. We need all copies. Just to keep them here safe in case the aliens return. Can't put it on the internet. No,
so my number one movie,
mm-hmm.
right? I have
and this is to save us.
I have spent the last 4 films
mm-hmm.
explaining humanity to them
mm-hmm.
to kind of give them a feeling as to the best parts of us,
right?
There are some horrible parts, I admit
mm-hmm.
it, but I think we need to focus on the good parts.
Right.
So that, you know, it's like having that argument. Yes, there are horrible things out there, but you have to take the good with the bad. Right?
Do
you have to? No, I'm shifting from that tactic, right? No, I'm using...
You're getting down to business.
No, I'm using the tactic that many people use when they are accused of having certain mindsets about certain groups of people. Right, you know, one of the many tactics people like to use to say that
they're not racist
is we have these friends, you know.
But you're still racist.
So at this point, I whip out Star Wars and New Hope, right? So that I can explain to them that if you look very closely, we don't hate aliens, right? Aliens are our friends. You might know some of these species that are in this film. You might even know a couple of the actors we employed to do this movie. And they are our friends. Don't you see Chewbacca?
Right.
He is...
George Lucas's fever dream of racist nonsense. Of course you will.
Right. And you, if you try really hard, you too can be a Jedi.
Okay. Word. I like how you just throw away all your hard work with this shitty thing. Well. Alright.
His list seemed all of a sudden uncannily
familiar to somebody else's list.
Yes.
Right there at the end.
I have some real movies there, but I was like, I didn't want to do that.
Yeah. Douglas, I already fucked this up. Now that we've come to the end, I'll say, alright guys, look. Stop it. There will be no Boys to Men anything here. Behave yourself.
You have to have a cane.
Yeah, maybe.
I'll set him. Since we're going to destroy these lists anyway, I'm not going to put the right movie. I'm going to put garbage like the rest of my co-hosts. I'll say, look. You brought all these ships here, right? You're clearly using them as leverage. You've told us a lot of nonsense. We have the Alpha Predator here that we'll use as leverage against you. And I will show them Gojira.
The new one.
One thing, the only one. No. It's not me yet. When we get to the end, because of course we will, and I'll say, look. Taking Earth is probably not the best idea. There's a lot of good things about Earth. I don't know what you've come here for. Clearly it's not us that you're planning to murder all of us. But if you do intend to enslave us for some reason, you might want to know what you're going to come up against. And I will show them the timeless classic. So that they realize this is not the slavery thing. It's probably going to be easier to murder all of us because the slavery thing won't go down well. And they look and they'll go, so let me get this straight. You watch garbage and then you have all these movies depicting a time when you murdered each other for no reason. And you think somewhere out there there's a magical alien space place where we have laws and nonsense like Men in Black. I know you've bookended this by showing us that not only did you do all of that, there was a time you literally owned other people. We're going to leave you. Nothing we do can come even close to what you've done to yourselves. So we're going to leave you guys alone. And that is how we'll save humanity. Show them that we're far worse than they can even imagine. Please, we don't want this set up. They're bad. And that is my list. There's a lot of garbage that I was going to put on this list, but Douglas
took over that job.
Good job, Douglas. I'm surprised Godzilla was on your list.
Fucking hate that
movie. I'm sorry.
I fucking hate
all of them.
That movie.
Which Godzilla are you talking?
Oh, are we talking about the ones before?
The ones before.
Alright, fine, I could watch those.
No, you hate those.
And you love this one.
No,
the
no,
good
no.
one.
Nope.
Where they're running military ops.
The one with
it's so dope.
With Kick-Ass. Oh.
But they shuttered your stores when you opened the doors to the cops who were bored once they'd run out of crime. New York, you're perfect. Oh, please don't change a thing. Your mild billionaire mayor's now convinced he's a king. And so the boring collect, I mean all disrespect. In the neighborhood bars I'd once dreamt I would drink. New York, I love you, but you're freaking me out. There's a ton of the twist, but we're fresh out of shout. Like a death in the hall that you hear through your wall. New York, I love you, but you're freaking me out. New York, I love you, but you're bringing me down.